Alex, I wanted to wait until you came back onto the show to talk about this quickly, but recently we hit a bit of a milestone on Mike's Camera Action.
Oh, yeah?
So currently we've been doing this for, this is our 26th episode.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago when we did our 24th on A Christmas Story, we passed a little MCA milestone where the podcast that inspired us to do, or inspired me at least, to want to do Mike's Camera Action had 23 episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we just recently passed them in our amount of content. So go us. We're awesome.
All right. We're better than those guys.
Damn right. We haven't been shit canned yet.
Yet.
Yet's the big keyword there, ladies and gentlemen. So share our show around, please.
You need to have listeners before you get shit canned, I suppose.
You got to have someone tell them, hey, by the way, hey, producers, are you aware of the show that's being made under your umbrella?
Yeah.
But this week, we're coming in here to talk about, Alex, one of your favorite Christmas movies.
Yep.
And what is that?
Leo the Lion.
Oh, fuck.
No, it's A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Don't watch Leo the Lion. It's quite awful.
Why are we talking about this right now? How dare you bring this onto my show? I'll kill you, boy. God damn it. Okay, so
is this the first time I've ever gotten a death threat on air?
Yep. It's always been off. I'm sitting there shaking you down. Don't you ever do that again to me, boy.
All right, fair enough.
I'll cut it this time, but next time. Anyway, so much Christmas Carol. Why don't you tell us about what exactly this is?
It's the story of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, except half the cast are Muppets.
It's more than half, though. It's the vast majority of the cast, yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly the Muppets.
But even that's not even like... The Muppets aren't even the Muppets. Like, they're just straight up the characters from the story, but with like a little bit of a quirk here and there.
Yeah, like you got Fozziwig, who works at the rubber chicken factory. And like you got Gonzo playing Charles Dickens. Mm. Rizzo, who's playing himself.
Yeah, he's
which
just
I found
himself.
The best. It's like his cat is like credited as Rizzo the Rat as himself.
Yeah.
It's just out of all the characters, he's just like, yeah, I'm just Rizzo the Rat.
He just gets to remain Rizzo.
Yeah, all the other characters get like shifted around and made into like Waldorf and Statler, the two old men Muppets who basically heckled the show.
Yeah.
Turn into the Marley brothers.
Yeah, which are actually really cool.
Yeah, it starts off pretty well.
Mm.
But yeah, no, it is like you got the ghost of past, present, and future, and yeah, it's just the Muppets.
Yeah, so it's a story of like, you know, you definitely know this story regardless of whether you've seen the movie or not.
Yeah.
Because it's, the Charles Dickens story where you've got the Ebenezer Scrooge visited by the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future.
You know this. You know that A Christmas Carol saved Christmas in the UK, right?
The what?
Before Charles Dickens published A Christmas Carol, like, Christmas had sort of fallen out of favor.
Really?
Yeah, after the rise of Puritanism, where everyone was sort of like, no, you can't really celebrate. You can't celebrate holidays.
Yeah.
Like, everyone had sort of, and in England... when they overthrew the king, it was like, it sort of stuck around a bit where everyone was sort of like, Christmas, just another day. But after Dickens published A Christmas Carol, it sort of came back into favor and people started celebrating it a bit more.
Really?
Not That's saying so that it cool. wasn't observed,
yeah.
but it was just not a big deal.
It wasn't widely celebrated like, oh man, it's Christmas this morning.
Yeah,
like, what day is it? Oh, it's celebrating Christmas. It's just
Yeah,
it's
it helped it come back into favor.
Okay, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, neat fact. But yeah, no, like you've probably seen A Christmas Carol done in some way, shape, or form.
The Simpsons
have done it.
I was about to say The Simpsons have definitely done it. I think with Mr. Burns as Scrooge, obviously.
No, I think there was one where Homer was Scrooge.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen.
Yeah, because he fell asleep while watching A Christmas Carol, and so they did it a little. They mostly play up the ghost of Christmas future, like the whole you're gonna die and no one loves you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the big thing that causes Scrooge to change his way is pretty much, it's a little bit like self-interest. It's also with Tiny Tim where he's saying like, oh, a child dies partly because of me. That's one thing. But then when he finds out that, you know, he's going to die and people are going to, you know, be happy about it, that's like, oh, well,
I would argue,
fuck that.
I'd argue that it's also, a bit of Christmas present does it as well. Like, he starts to realize that like Christmas future just nails it.
Yeah.
So you were saying you didn't realize that Michael Caine was playing Scrooge, though?
I didn't. It hadn't clicked in my mind that that was a possibility until the moment when they have like the whole musical number about how Scrooge is a terrible person and you don't see his face through that entire sequence.
Yeah.
And I was partly expecting, because I know Kermit's like the go-to Muppet character.
Yeah.
As I was expecting him to turn around and then it would just be like Kermit. And yeah. It's like this really it'd just be a really weird like gag about that.
Because it's just a huge Kermit.
Yeah, it'd just be Kermit in like a trench coat and he steps off some like, I don't know, like, I don't know what I was expecting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was half expecting him to just drop the trench coat and then go down to Kermit size.
This is a bit of a departure from a normal Muppets film, most of which do center around Kermit.
Yeah.
The only ones that I can think of that don't center around Kermit are this one and Muppets in Space, kind of. It's a bit of a Gonzo
Muppets
story.
Muppets in Space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gonzo's actually an alien instead of a vulture. It's a bit bizarre.
I mean, he's a little bit alien-ish.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
No one quite knows what he is. And then also the Muppets movie from, like, 2011?
Right.
With Jason Segel and Amy Adams and stuff.
Is that the one where they kidnap... No, that's Muppets Back in Action, where they kidnap Jack Black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like in the original Muppets film, it's Kermit the Frog trying to take the show on the road.
Yeah,
get a cast.
I like that the Muppets has become like, typically it's a movie about the making of the Muppets.
Yeah,
it's just some sort of like running joke between the movies where it's just the whole point of the Muppets is to make the Muppets.
Yeah,
that's their biggest battle.
I mean, like, because all the movies came around after the show.
Yeah,
so like you knew who the Muppets were, so they were trying to build the show.
Hmm.
But no, they've also got like stuff like Muppets in Manhattan. Oh no, that one's a bit about making the Muppets, bringing the show to Manhattan,
having his revelation
The Wizard of Oz Muppets movie, I forgot what it's called.
There's a Wizard of Oz Muppets movie?
Yeah, there is.
Now that I hear the word said, that doesn't shock me so much.
But yeah, they've done a few sort of... Yeah, the Muppets Wizard of Oz. You're right, a lot of them are about like them taking the show. But the whole thing about the Muppets is that they are a troupe of like actors and characters. Yeah. And they're not just characters. They have jobs.
They have jobs, and that job is to make the Muppets happen.
Exactly that. Like... That's their job, is they're the Muppets, so they need to make it happen. The Muppets Christmas Carol is the first Muppets film directed by Brian Henson,
yep,
who is Jim Henson's son, because it's the first one to be made after the passing of Jim Henson.
Yeah. And thank God it came out so much better than Goro Miyazaki making Tales from Earthsea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much better.
So much better.
Brian Henson also directed The Happy Time Murders, which I didn't see and I kind of want to see.
Yeah?
Yeah, because...
Check that out. I reckon you might like it.
Have you seen it?
No, but it just seems like...
Yeah.
Being the big fan of Muppets you are, maybe you'd probably get more of a kick out of it than I would.
Yeah, it's a Jim Henson Company production.
Yeah.
It's just not a Muppets film.
Okay. I didn't realize that was actually made by the Henson Company.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, it's the Henson Company has their hand in a lot of stuff. Yeah. If it's probably puppet, Jim Henson may have had the Jim Henson Company probably had a hand in it.
That just kind of surprised me because I know they got a lot of shit for using the word Muppets in the trailer. I'm completely wrong on that. They got flack for using the word Sesame Street in there,
which is also the Sesame Street group are kind of Muppets.
Really?
Because they're made by the Jim Henson Company too.
Hmm.
Characters were originally made by Jim Henson, however, Jim Henson sold the right to the Sesame Street characters to PBS, which is why if you watch the original like Muppets movie from the 70s, Kermit and Fozzie driving around, they run into Big Bird. And they're like, hey, do you want to come with us? We're going to Hollywood. And Big Bird's like, no, I'm going to make my name in public television. Because the joke is that Sesame Street is on PBS, public broadcasting system.
Yeah. Whereas the Muppets are going to, you know, the big leagues, the movies. Yeah.
That's one of the gags in the film.
That's really funny,
in that film.
Actually.
Yeah, the Muppets, I recommend, if you haven't seen them, I recommend them. But anyway, back to the Muppets film we're meant to be reviewing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, honestly, talking about the Muppets itself is still within the vein, I think.
Yeah, so. I grew up with the Muppets, kind of, I didn't grow up watching them, except for, the odd film here and there, but I've always known who they were.
I mean, I've known the characters, but it's the case of I'd seen some stuff from the Muppets, But yeah. I've never been like, it's not like my parents ever said, you will watch the Muppets. Like, I never had like the Muppets growing up, you know? Like, I never, like, they were, it was always there, but I didn't sit down and watch a lot of Muppets movies. I think it's just something I kind of missed as a kid.
The only thing I ever watched as a kid was not a Muppets Christmas Carol. I found that, I found this only like a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, a few, I mean, like 5 years ago. Yeah, I definitely like watched Muppets in Space, like a few other Muppets things here and there.
Okay.
But I like the Muppets. They're pretty good. But yeah, I like the part of the reason I like the Muppets Christmas Carol so much is that it's sort of serious. It's like
really interesting that way.
Yeah, I like a lot of kids films, but I like this one because it's a kids film that plays itself pretty seriously.
Yeah. That's actually one of the interesting things I wanted to bring up is that Michael Caine's character Scrooge plays his role completely seriously, straight down the line, where he doesn't make there's no physical comedy, there's no ridiculousness to him. He just plays Scrooge, the classic Scrooge. That's
I was reading that apparently at the start of the film he went to Brian Henson and was like, I'm playing this film completely straight. Don't get me winking or anything at the Muppets. And Brian Henson was like, exactly. That's what
perfect.
We want.
That's why you're here.
That's what we want. We want you to play it completely straight. And he does. And it makes it so much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to let the Muppets be the Muppets. But in this case, you also needed the Scrooge to be Scrooge.
It's got that thing you need in comedy and just, you know, where you walk that line where you've got character, you've got ridiculous characters, serious world, or serious characters, ridiculous world kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this plays out that balance well, where you've got a dead serious main character with Scrooge, and then you've got everything else around him is completely bonkers, it's all Muppets.
Mostly Muppets.
But most of the characters, like everyone aside from his love interest and his family.
And like a few background characters here and there. Like, Yeah, everyone's basically Muppet.
Yeah, but if they talk on screen
and
aren't Scrooge, they're probably a Muppet.
Yeah.
Even if they just sing on screen, they're a Muppet.
Yeah, it's all the singing is done by the Muppets. It's all, you know, but it's what you expect from a Muppets movie.
Yeah.
It's the bizarre nature of the Muppets is what it is.
Mm.
But I love it because it works so well. Like, this is like one of the darkest depictions of a Christmas Carol I've seen.
Yeah.
And it comes from the Muppets. Like, you've got Tiny Tim, who is obviously dying.
Yeah, and who dies.
And like, no, but like, unlike a lot of them where he's just like poorly, he's coughing.
Yeah.
Like, they add emphasis to the fact that he is like probably gonna die soon.
Yeah. Boy, Tiny Tim, did he die? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They go into length about where the kid's grave is.
Yeah. I buried him up on the hill so he could see the ducky. Oh, God.
Yeah, overlooking the pond. And I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, God. They killed him.
Yeah, like, this film doesn't pull punches about Tiny Tim dying. Yeah. And it makes it so much better, I think.
Or about Scrooge dying, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, Scrooge dying is a given because that's just the nature
Naturally.
Of the story.
Yeah.
They don't pull any punches about people just stealing his stuff.
Yeah.
Like the idea that someone stole his sheets and they're still warm.
Yeah. Only warmth he ever had, huh?
Yeah. It's like, what? Huh?
That was actually really, really weird where I was like, they're talking about straight up looting his apartment right now. The neighborhood's doing it where these three people have only come away with these bed sheets. Yeah. Everyone else has already got all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, that's dark.
Yeah, this film is pretty dark. Like, the Ghost of Christmas Future is like this massive, imposing presence.
Which is your favorite, spirit?
It's the Ghost of Christmas present.
Present?
Yeah.
So why present?
Because he's happy and cheerful. And
okay.
So I like the look of the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah.
Which is they did that by. I was telling you earlier that they did it by. They made the puppet to work underwater, and they submerged it with a green screen so that you got a really good floating effect with it.
That's really... There's something really cool about, like, the sort of something just being in air, but the hair on it floating around.
Yeah, it looks like, ethereal. It looks like... It's one of the best cool depictions of, like, an actual ghost that I've seen.
Yeah, that was, like, the one thing that I was, like, super... like hyped about the most recent Pirates of the Caribbean film was I was like, Javier Bardem's hair looks like it's always in water and that's cool as fuck. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's all that movie had for me.
The Ghost of Christmas Future is imposing.
That's
and
my favorite. As soon as the Ghost of Christmas Future shows, like, appears in the story, it takes a very different turn.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you've had, like, the present where you've got this happy, smiling puppet going around and saying, like, here's this part of the, like, of the present of what's going on in Christmas, yada, yada, yada. And then the Ghost of Christmas Future shows up, and then Gonzo and Rizzo say, all right, we're going to take a back seat and leave for a little bit. This is about to get serious, so we're going to go. And they just disappear for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, they just appear until the next day, basically.
Yeah, they just check out until that scene is over, because they remove the comedy from the situation once the Ghost of Christmas Future's in.
Yeah, because most of the comedy does come from those two.
Yeah.
I remember when we were watching in the Ghost of Christmas Past bit where you see the school and you've got Gonzo and Rizzo and this sitting on the shelf and then they fall off the shelf.
The shelf collapses one way and all the trophies slide into them, and then the shelf collapses the other way and all the trophies slide off the shelf, like, off that direction, and then they do.
Yeah, and then you've got Sam the Eagle, who's known for, like, his American sort of patriotism. He goes and he's like, he says something, it's like, you'll make business. That's the American way. And then you've got Gonzo co-op whispering his ear. That's the English way.
That right? Oh, yep. There was also one of my favorite gags was, this is just if you want insight into one of my favorite things about, like, one of my favorite humorous bits is Gonzo and Rizzo are climbing the gate to hop over into Scrooge's manor or into his house. And then there's the moment where Rizzo jumps off the top of the gate, falls into the snow, and then he says, oh, I forgot my jelly beans, and goes back through the slat in the gate and goes all the way through it and then comes right back. Like, he doesn't even bother hopping the fence off. That's just like, you could fit the entire time. Yeah.
Like, yeah, my favorite bit though is that Rizzo was complaining the entire time about having to climb it.
Yeah. He's just so upset that he has to jump off it.
Yeah.
And then he just walks right through the gate to go back.
Yeah, it's like, what?
That's one of my favorite gags in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good gags. It's not as, I wouldn't say it's as funny as some of the other Muppets movies I've seen, but
I think the most recent one the last one I saw would have been Back in Action, right?
Most Wanted?
No, sorry, the one where they kidnap Jack Black, sorry.
Yeah, the one where they go to the gulag.
Wait, what? They go, oh fuck, it's been so long.
Is it the one where, like,
It's the one where they get shit canned. Like, they get cancelled and then have to try and put on, like, a reunion type thing.
Are they doing a world tour?
No, it's not a world tour.
Oh. I don't think I've seen Muppets Back in Action. How recent is it?
I don't remember. I didn't see it in a theater. It was like DVD.
Okay, because does it have Jason Segel in it?
Yeah, that one, right?
Oh, okay. So it's the one, it's just the Muppets in the 2011.
Is it the one
where they're, like, trying to put on the show in Hollywood and they got to go find Kermit and stuff?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, Muppets Most Wanted is the one after that where they end up in a gulag.
Okay,
it's a whole thing. Danny Trio is playing Danny Trio. Actually, that's
in the gulag.
That's something else that I noticed that this film was lacking.
Yeah,
A lot of the other Muppet movies are full of celebrity cameos.
Yeah, this had just had the one, really.
Yeah, like,
this had Michael Caine.
Yeah, you had like the Muppets, the one that you were talking about.
Yeah,
that has, like, every so often you just see a random celebrity just there in the background or just doing something.
Mm.
But this one had none of that.
Okay.
And I feel like it made it work, though, because, like, otherwise you would have been adding characters for no apparent reason.
Yeah, it pretty much just has, like, the characters, and that's pretty much it. It just has the Muppets thrown in there.
Yeah.
The Muppets are the side characters in this one, really.
Yeah, they are. And it works so well because, you know, Michael Caine's acting makes this film.
I was actually a little bit surprised that Michael Caine was playing Scrooge in the first place, where, like, he turns around at the front door. And there's the reveal that Michael, like, there's a face reveal for Scrooge, basically. And I was like, really? Michael Caine? Because it's like, I don't know, the things I've seen Michael Caine in the past decade have all been him playing, like, a very, like, you know, loving fatherly character.
Yeah, it's because he's, like, old.
Yeah, I get it. But between, like, in every Chris Nolan film he's been, like, you know, his role in The Prestige, his role in Interstellar, his role in the Batman movies have always been, like, a father figure.
Michael Caine was in Interstellar?
Yeah.
Did he play the grandfather?
No, he was playing the guy from NASA who goes, Matthew McConaughey, we need you to come back to space.
Isn't it like his daughter is on the mission as well?
Yeah, he's Anne Hathaway's father.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that Interstellar was a trip.
A trip. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
That's like Michael Caine's role. He's yeah. playing like that fatherly character. So to see him in the first, you know, three quarters of this movie being, Christmas bah humbug, that kind of thing. Like, you'll come in on Christmas Day at 8:30 in the morning. That was surprising to me, where it's like, he can play a horrible, horrible old man who's very greedy and terrible.
Yeah, he does, and it's I think he does it well.
Yeah, he does it well enough. And of course, the handbrake 180 at the end when he flips around to the very nice, generous man and then goes straight up to Cratchit's house and goes, "You weren't at work today, Cratchit.
I thought we'd organize the day off."
"Oh, is that what you thought?"
Yeah, and he got Miss Piggy in there, like, threatening to punch him.
Shouting at him.
Winding up her fist.
Dude, I gotta say, I love, there's like a really ridiculous part in there where you've got Cratchit's family, where we see them for the first time in the Ghost of Christmas Present scene. And it's got Cratchit played by Kermit, then Miss Piggy, and then all their kids are either frogs for boys and pigs for girls.
In one of the other Muppets movies, they also imagine the way that Kermit and Miss Piggy would have kids.
Yeah.
And it is disturbing.
Is it a bit Leo the Lion?
No. Oh, no. No, it's like the frog is pink and the pig is green. Yeah, the coloration changes. It's a bit weird.
That's a bit weird.
You're right, Carl.
What?
Nothing. Yeah, it's just bizarre. I don't know why they did it, but they did it that way. I think it's
always interesting to see.
I think that's in the Muppets Take Manhattan. It's just during a song.
They just come in for a second and go out.
Yeah, like they Miss Piggy singing about the way that they imagine their life would be, and it's weird.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, Muppets Babies is its weird thing in its own right.
Oh God, I forgot about Muppets Babies.
Yeah, what a bizarre thing.
Good God.
But yeah, no, this film doesn't quite have the weird bent that the others do. Mm. I found it interesting because I was also reading that Michael Caine didn't realize this was Brian Henson's directorial debut.
Really?
Yeah. Halfway through the film, he was like, "Wait, is this the first film you directed?" And Brian's like, "Yeah."
Yeah. Point being, Mr. Caine.
Yeah.
Get your butt out of your trailer and into makeup.
I'm pretty sure he was just impressed by it because, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd argue that considering his dad was Jim Henson, he spent a lot of time on the set.
Maybe,
on
yeah.
sets and stuff.
Yeah, it would definitely help.
Yeah, I would be surprised if, like, as someone whose dad's, you know, a director and you're also interested in film, you'd spend time on the set.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd take my kid on a film shoot. Why not?
Yeah. This film I love. It's so happy and cheerful. Like,
Except
when it isn't. And,
except
but like,
when there's ghosts.
But like, it doesn't pretend that it's not this serious story.
No. It treats itself, you know. It honestly makes the classic Charles Dickens story accessible.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah, it makes it really accessible and it makes it really friendly.
Yeah, it adds a palette to it. It changes the palette so that's, you know, consumable to, you know, to most kids, where it's not just like, who's this, you know, old, you know, 19th century novelist or whatever writing about Christmas. Blah. But then it's like, oh, it's the Muppets, you know?
Yeah, it's the Muppets. You gotta love the Muppets.
Yeah. Like, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, it's my dad reckons that it's one of the most accurate depictions of A Christmas Carol that he's seen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Which I found pretty surprising. It didn't do quite so well, but it had to face competition from Home Alone 2.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough contest.
It grossed a total of $27.3 million.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It was made using $12
million. Okay, that's still pretty good, though.
Yeah.
It nearly doubled.
But it had to deal with Aladdin and...
Oh!
Yeah, it was going up against Aladdin and...
That's a tough year.
Yeah.
That's a real tough year.
Yeah. Roger Ebert gives it 3 stars. I like Roger Ebert. He thought it could deal with more songs, although I have heard some of the songs that were cut.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So Beaker and Honeydew have their own song.
Beaker, okay.
Meep, meep.
Yeah.
Beaker. Yeah, they have their own song that got cut for time, as well as Sam the Eagle has his own song that got cut.
Really?
Yeah, some of them got cut just because they're It wasn't that great.
Honestly, like, I can get it, because if I feel like the songs that were in there were kind of important. Like, they're at key points in the story.
Yeah.
I feel like you saying Beaker and Honeydew having a song, I don't know when that would have gone in, but I don't feel like that was important to the narrative at all to have that in there.
No, the song probably would. I've listened to it, and from what I can gather, it's at the start when they're trying to ask for money.
Yeah, okay.
It's not after he's given the money, it's before.
Yeah.
And there was one other song that was cut, like, pretty last minute, was When Love Is Gone. We listened to that a bit of it, and it's sad.
It's a little bit too, it's even a bit too soul-crushing for this movie. It's just like, Michael Caine's love interest, or Scrooge's love interest, I'm assuming in the Ghost of Christmas Past sequence, when she walks out on him, and it's just a song about love being dead.
Yeah, but I feel like if it stayed in the film, it would add more.
Yeah.
Because you've got, like, the whole thing is that When Love Is Found, the song at the end is a reprise of that song.
Yeah.
Of When Love Is Gone. And so, like, you've got this really sad song, but then you've got this still a sad song. Love Is Found is, like, still, like, pretty slow and kind of sad.
But it's still got that upbeat meaning.
Yeah, it's got upbeat meaning, but, like,
it's a happy song where you've got, it's the moment he turns around and everyone in the town is rallying behind him going, Scrooge has changed. Scrooge is a good guy.
That's but what I'm saying is that, like, but plus with that, it turns pretty sad.
A little bit.
She
never come back.
She didn't come back, and it's a bit surprising. Not surprising, because Scrooge is awful.
He is a little bit of a dick. And by a little bit, I mean a lot.
Yeah, and so... I kind of got why he was, like, holding off on marrying her and that sort of thing, because he was, like, he wanted to, like, do it right.
Yeah, he wanted to have some money behind him so they could do it properly. But even then, this is still Scrooge we're talking about.
Yeah, he's still a penny pincher.
Yeah, so it's still going to be done, like, to the minimum, regardless.
Yeah. But still, I feel like having that song still in there would have made the film a bit better.
Yeah, you think it would definitely help?
Yeah, I think it would have added, like, extra depth into the film.
I can see why it exists.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think, especially, like, towards the end, it would have, like, tied everything off nicely.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I found one of my favorite gags in here. I don't know why, but it's just as a brief moment of tension between Gonzo and Rizzo. And then Rizzo just plants a kiss on Gonzo's nose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just there. No, he just goes,
yeah. One of my favorite bits is still when Gonzo walks into Fozziwig's party.
Yep.
And there's just a chicken, and he's like, hello there. Because Gonzo's whole thing is, like, he's married to a chicken or something weird like that. I can't remember. He's interested in chickens. It's a bit bizarre.
He's got a chicken thing.
Yeah.
He's a bird, kind of. Yeah. Maybe, I think.
I don't know. I can't remember what the final decision of Muppets in Space and what he was. I definitely remember there being things that looked exactly like Gonzo being aliens.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You were saying?
Speaking of Rizzo, he mentions at one point they're talking about their family. Like, they're talking about family structures. And Rizzo mentions he's got 1,274 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's so many kids. Probably half of them working in Scrooge's place of business. All those ones at desks.
Sorry, I just remembered in A Muppet's Treasure Island, which has Tim Curry in it, which is, so it's pretty good. Rizzo starts operating a tour guide, like a cruise ship. Out of the pirate ship that they're on. It's just rat tours. It's just bizarre. It's just one of those gags that, like, if they'd added it to this film, it wouldn't have worked, but it worked because it was just like they're on the ship and everyone was just taking photos and they're like a whole bunch of tourists, but they're all rats.
That's pretty cute.
I was like, all right, this is the weirdest thing I've seen today, but sure, let's go with it.
Today?
So far. Yeah, no, I really enjoy that film as well. Muppets Treasure Island's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of Muppets movies I'm thinking of. Like, did the Muppets ever do... Were the Muppets originally on TV, or was it always a movie thing?
The Muppets were originally on TV. They had a show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I also have a great line here about one of the things I like the most is like Pivot's the ridiculousness of the puppets.
Yeah.
So there's a moment really early on where Kermit blows out a candle, and I just saw that like, no, that's fucking hilarious. It's just a puppet going and blowing out a candle, and it's like, yeah, no.
I always find it weird when I see Kermit's legs, though. It bothers me.
That dude, Kermit's legs. I don't know why they're so weird. There's something about it where it's just when you can see them, I'm like, huh? When he's ice skating in this movie with all the penguins, I was like, hang on. This doesn't look right. And it might just be because at that point, because Kermit's a hand puppet, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a hand.
Yeah, there's a bit of a hand puppet, yeah.
So whenever you can see Kermit, I feel like whenever I can see Kermit's legs, there must be something going on.
Yeah.
Because if you can see the bottom half of him, then they're hiding it.
I found how many Muppets movies there are.
Yep.
There are 7.
Only 7.
I've seen Muppet Movie, The Muppets Take Manhattan, Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppet Treasure Island. Oh, this doesn't have The Muppets Wizard of Oz. I don't know why it doesn't.
Is that a TV special or something?
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Muppets Wizard of Oz is a TV film.
Yeah.
As well as it's a very Muppet, very merry Muppet Christmas movie.
Yeah. Which I want an addendum to something I said last week. That's the one with the Kermit existing has something to do with 9/11.
Yeah.
That's the one.
The Muppet Show, Sex and Violence.
What?
Don't worry, I am
digging right into this.
Yeah, I don't know why there's sex and violence.
Is that not just the Happy Time Murders?
It's one of the 2 pilots produced for the Muppets movie, The Muppet Show.
Really?
Yeah.
2 pilots, okay.
Yeah, so there were 7 movies. The Muppet Movie, The Great Muppet Caper, The Muppets Take Manhattan, The Muppet Christmas Carol, The Muppet Treasure Island, Muppets in Space, The Muppets, and Muppets Most Wanted.
Okay.
As it turns out, I've seen most of these.
Yeah.
I thought I hadn't seen them all, but I have. I don't think I've seen The Great Muppet Caper.
And no,
I think
that doesn't sound familiar, actually.
That's the only one I haven't seen. I've seen the others.
Now you know what you're doing with your weekend.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I've also seen The Muppets. I'm pretty sure I've seen The Muppets Wizard of Oz, and I don't think I've seen It's a Very Merry Muppets Christmas Movie.
Okay.
That I know of. I might have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is bizarre. But yeah, no, there's definitely... So The Muppets have done some weird things, like, on the internet.
Okay.
The Muppets have a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a...
I feel like at some point the Muppets have also done a crossover with Lindsay Stirling.
Oh, maybe.
I feel like they have. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
I swear they're in one of her videos.
Yeah, probably. I can't remember who the band is, but I remember they're the Electric Teeth, and I don't remember
Electric
why.
Electric Teeth.
Yeah, it's the... They have a name. It's animals in the band. Oh, sorry, it's Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. And this is the Muppets collaboration for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, no, yeah, they do Bohemian Rhapsody. It's just the band from the Muppets. The Muppets have a band.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, some of the Muppets are in a band.
Yep. So who's performing that?
Just whoever's playing.
No, I mean like which Muppets are in the Bohemian Rhapsody version?
Oh, it's Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Okay.
It's the band that is... So Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem are like a series of their own characters.
Yep.
That make... you know Animal? The one, the red...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the drummer for the...
Yeah.
That's his shtick, is that he's the drummer for Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Okay. So it's not like Kermit, all that. It's...
No.
Okay. It's an actual cast.
Yeah.
It's not just like a spattering of Muppets.
No. It's...
That's what I was
Dr.
wondering.
Teeth and the Electric Mayhem are a band in their own right.
Yep.
Never forget that.
They've got their own iTunes page. They're on Spotify.
Oh, look, let's find out.
Oh, shoot. Check them out. See if they're on Spotify.
All right.
Just list it as that, though. If it says, like, The Muppets, it's not doing it.
Dr. Teeth. Yeah, Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem are an artist.
There you go.
Yeah, it's mostly...
I don't know why that makes me so happy to hear that they're listed that way and not just as, like, you know, the parent company of The Muppets.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what they are. It's just because, yeah, they're listed as Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
That's cool. I always like it when...
All the Muppets probably have their own pages.
Oh, definitely.
They're all credited as artists on their Spotify
really?
Songs. Yeah, I'm probably sure if I typed in Kermit...
Oh my God, Kermit the Frog.
It would come up. Yeah, Kermit the Frog is an artist.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I always like when they do that, like when a fictional band or a fictional character... has their own page, like,
yeah,
on something like that. Like, that was the thing that really disappointed me about Black Panther, was that there wasn't a Ulysses Claw SoundCloud. I was really disappointed about that for some reason.
Just why you wanted it? You wanted
because Andy Serkis's character Claw mentions his SoundCloud at one point. He just brings it up, like, should totally check us out on SoundCloud. And I was really disappointed that that there wasn't just a Claw mixtape.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, Kermit has his own thing. It's just mainly just Rambo Connection.
Hmm.
Yeah, apparently there's also, Kermit may also be the name of a DJ that's also just credit things under Kermit.
MC Kermit.
And it's a bit bizarre. Yeah. It's
yo, just, everybody in the house, it's DJ Kermit.
Yeah.
Hi-ho. Hi-ho.
Yeah, I love the Muppets. They're just bizarre. And like, I love this film because it's not quite so bizarre, but the elements of like weirdness.
It's got a little bit in there.
Yeah.
Just enough.
Just enough to make it entertaining, but not too much to detract from the story.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing to take away from this, is it's still, number one priority was telling, like, the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And number two was then inserting the Muppets in and making it flow that way.
Yeah, and I liked that, because, like, a lot of the times, number one priority is obviously the Muppets.
And a lot of the time, like, even doing a Christmas the Christmas Carol, a lot of the time it's just inserting the characters in. Like, The Simpsons was definitely to make it The Simpsons and have that be the joke.
Yeah, exactly that.
Whereas for this, the joke comes afterwards.
Yeah.
It's getting the story across, followed by, but it's the Muppets, wacky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's more like, this is a Christmas Carol, but guess what? Oh, look, it's the Muppets.
Yeah, it's a great way honestly, it's a good way to tell a classic story.
Yeah.
It's a good way to get that across to people, because you can't always just remake the story and then throw it out there. Sometimes you have to sort of reinvigorate it, reinvent it some way. And the Muppets is a good way to do that.
Yeah, just don't do it a lot.
Oh?
Like, Muppets Treasure Island isn't bad, but it's nowhere near as good.
Okay.
It tells the story the same, but it's a bit more Muppets, Muppets, Muppets.
Yeah.
Whereas, because they don't have someone with the acting ability of Michael Caine as well. And Tim Curry is good in Muppet Treasure Island, but the kid that they have is not good.
Yeah, if you're going to have someone alongside the Muppets, you have to have someone real good.
Yeah.
You can't just have someone who is themselves a Muppet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid,
you know?
The kid in, there's a moment when you watch A Muppet's Treasure Island where the kid is singing this high note, and it is obvious on Tim Curry's face that he wants him to stop.
Oh, no.
Yep.
That poor kid.
Yep.
Fair enough.
But yeah. You got anything else to add?
No, if you have anything else you want to tack on. Sweet.
Chucked in all my little bits and pieces.
All right. Awesome. Next week, so this episode will be coming out soon enough, but next week our episode will be coming out on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do a movie that was also set on Christmas Eve to, you know, get you into the spirit of Christmas. And Alex, that movie is...
Die Hard.
Yes. I kind of really wanted to get around to doing this at some point. I know I said earlier in the week, in the month, that I was like, no, we're not doing Die Hard, but we were totally going to do Die Hard.
Yeah,
it had to happen.
I mean, like, we've already hit most of the Christmas, like, notes.
We've managed to tap on at this point. We've done three Christmas movies so far, and we've managed to catch on, like, a bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, we've done two, classic Christmas movies, one traditional Christmas story retold by some sort of method, one, like, you know, one of them that is just a straight-up family comedy.
Yeah.
So now we're going to do a Christmas action movie, I guess?
Yeah.
In a way. We'll also have a bit, I guess we'll have to go into, like, what makes a Christmas movie a little bit as well.
Yeah, I never hear Let It Snow without thinking about Die Hard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Just reminds me of Die Hard and Christmas.
All right, so tune in next week on Christmas Eve for your fill of Mike's Camera Action, where we talk about Die Hard.